Praise the Lord, church. Thank you, Pastor Schumacher. We had a home Bible study last night in our living room. And it's exciting. I've made some mistakes in my life and made some bad decisions, but you know, the Lord has been good to us and to me because of faithfulness and of teaching. I haven't always been perfect, but I know the Lord knows my heart. And as I teach the Word of God, I know God has blessed me in many ways because of that. And I'm so thankful for His faithfulness. Brother Pankinen, your grandson, that is so awesome. And what a great foundation. Yes, the Lord deserves a hand clap. You see, church, we really are a privileged people because we know the Lord. And because we know Him and He knows us, we can trust Him with every situation. And when we hear things like we heard tonight about Brady and how the Lord worked a miracle in his life, that can help our trust level with our situations and our challenges in life. If there's anybody we can trust, it's Jesus. I want to help somebody tonight. I want to help somebody in this place. I want to help me tonight. And if there's anybody that's joining us, if we're live streaming this service, I want to help somebody out there. This world needs the help of Jesus. And every time you and I come into the house of God and we hear things like we heard tonight, we are helped. We are encouraged. We are strengthened because we serve a God who is living and moving and changing and working in our lives. And He wants so much for us to share His goodness with others so that they can be here and He can be working in their lives the same way. Do you trust Him tonight? Amen. So I want to speak to you tonight about trusting in Jesus. We have heard some awesome teaching. Sunday was so awesome, started with the obedience and then being a servant to the Lord. And then Brother Coffey talked about the order that God has set for us, a very divine order, and how when we are in that order, when we have the servant attitude like Brother Portman talked about, and how we are obedient to the Word of God. And then we are standing in line with the very order that God has put in place. We can trust God. And trust plays right along with obedience and being in order and subjection to the authority of God. We have the right to trust God. All the precious promises in this book belong to us. Galatians, the third chapter, tells us that as we are baptized into Christ and have put Him on, we become Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And we're going to go back to the Old Testament tonight, and we're going to come forward to the New Testament, and we are going to see and trust in the same God that worked miracles back then who is the same God who is working miracles in this day that we live, in our lives, there is no reason that we can't trust him with our every being, our every fiber. So if you would stand with me tonight for the reading of the word, just going to read a couple scriptures. Very familiar scripture to us all, Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. I'm sure we could quote it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not some of it, not most of it, but all thine heart. And lean not unto our own understanding. But in all our ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. A wholehearted trust in the Lord. And in turn, he directs our life, our paths, our happenings. And Psalms 118 and 8. I remember the first time my pastor, and you know what? Thank God for the men of God in our lives that teach and instruct us according to thus saith the word of the Lord. I remember when he quoted this scripture, Psalms 118 and 8, and showed us how it's the very heart of the Bible. It's right in the middle. It's surrounded by everything. And what does the Lord say to us through his word? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Verse 9 says much the same thing. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Right at the very heart of the being of our lives and our walk with Christ, we can stand on the fact that it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Would you pray with me tonight? Lord Jesus, I pray in these next few moments, oh God, Lord, that you could help us, that you could encourage us in your word, oh God. And Lord, that we could leave this place with our heads held high, knowing, Lord, we are children of the King. And that, Lord, no matter what we're facing, no matter what's happening in our life, if it's sickness, if it's financial, Lord, whatever it is, that we can trust you with it because you love us. And as your word tells us, Lord, your thoughts towards us are good thoughts. And Lord, there is no one, there is nothing that can compare to who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you're seated, could you give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this place? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. So we're to trust in the Lord with all our heart. All thine heart, our feelings, our will, our intellect, the inner man, our feelings, conscience. Now look, our seat of appetites. We all have appetites in different directions in our lives. But our seat of appetites or our seat of emotions or passions. Look at that word seat like our anchor, our very anchor of our emotions and our trust and our feelings has got to be rooted in the trust of God. Because there is nothing that he can't handle, and there is nothing that he does not know about us or what is going on in our lives. He has all the information, but what's really awesome is he has all the answers. I don't know anybody in this world that has all the answers. I know a few people who proclaim to have them all, but that doesn't work. But over and over, page after page, scripture after scripture, chapter after chapter, the Lord is consistent in everything he does and handles in our lives. I read a story in it. It almost sounded kind of harsh at first. It was about a warrior. He was a well-trained warrior, and he got married, and him and his wife went off and traveled and enjoyed their new life together, and they were coming back, and they were on a little boat, and they were going across the waterway, and a storm came out of nowhere. And I thought right away of the disciples with Jesus. But the warrior, who was strong and trained and mighty, sat there, fearless. But his new wife was trembling and scared. And she looked to him and said, "Are you not scared? Do you not fear for our life?" Even though he was hardened in battle, he feared the Lord, which was his biggest strength. And as the boat rocked and his new wife felt like she was going to perish, he took his sword and he went to her and he went behind her and he took that sword and he put it up to her throat just inches away. I'm thinking, wow. You know, there's some things that we face in our walk with God that can seem harsh and hard. But God knows about them. And he said to her, "Are you fearful? Do you feel like your life is in jeopardy?" And she said, "No, I don't. Because I know you love me. And I know you won't hurt me." And he said, "The storm that we are facing right now is the sword that's in the Lord's hand. And if you trust me with your life, then I can look to you and tell you, I trust him with our lives. He won't hurt us because he loves us." And it's true. In everything that you and I face, sometimes we feel alone and our battles feel bigger than we can even imagine, intimidating. But yet, rest assured, you can trust in the Lord. He knows where you're at, he knows what you're going through, and he has your answer. Amen. So who is this Lord that scriptures talk about? Now, this scripture in Psalm, the 118th Psalm, let me go there. And this psalm is identified as a messianic psalm by the frequency with which it is quoted and alluded in the New Testament, if you compare verses 22 through 26 with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, also in the book of Acts, and 1 Peter, and this is what I'm talking about. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." We talked about this tonight, "because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever." And this scripture, goes on to talk about the goodness and the mercy of God. But verse 22 talks about the stone which the builders refused has become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke, we hear the scripture mentioned about this was the stone that the builders rejected. You see, this Lord that we are told to trust in and that it's better to trust in him than in man or in princes is the same Lord that you and I know as Jesus, who was revealed as Jesus to us in the New Testament. The Old Testament talks about him as the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Capital L, Elohim, supreme deity. We know that's Jesus. And he showed us his truth. And so in the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, verses 11 and 12, and in 1 Peter 2 and 7, it talks about the same thing, the stone that the builders rejected. But it also talks about this was Hosanna, the one who would come in the name of the Lord. And we know that that name is Jesus. The scriptures that spell out the Lord in the books of Psalms, we know are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know him, but more importantly, he knows us. We have put him on. He has washed us in his blood. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, talks about how all were baptized in the cloud and in the sea when Moses took the nation of Israel across. And we know, it goes on to say that they all ate from that spiritual rock and drank from that rock. And that rock was Christ. You see, he was with them in the cloud, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. But he's with us and he's in us. It's the same God. And I want to take just a few looks at some things that God did in the Old Testament. And then we can see some things that he did in the New Testament. He raised the dead. He made the blind to see, the lame to walk. Look, this is the God that you and I can put our trust in. And this is the God that Scripture instructs us to put our trust in. This world and the agenda from the COVID and everything that's happened in the last couple of years has been to divide. But that's not God's agenda. The agenda of the Lord is to unite and to bring together. So, if you would take a little journey with me and go to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. We're going to come back to this 118th chapter of Psalms in a little bit. But 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, verses 43 through 47. We all know the story. David is going out to fight the giant. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, verse 42, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. How many times when you and I face a problem which seems like a mountain or a giant, do we think that our flesh has had it? How am I going to escape this? What am I going to do? Trust in the Lord. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of my armies of Israel, who thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. So Saul, if you'll remember, wanted to give David his battle gear. And the Bible says even that David put it on. But he didn't try it or prove it. And he said, I can't wear this. I can't go to battle in this because this is not my strength. You see, it wasn't something that man devised that they tell us, oh, I can protect you, I have your answer, this is what you need to do. He put off the battle garb of Saul and he said, I am going in the name of the Lord. And we know the end of the story. He defeated the giant. He got the victory. Over and over, he was asking the question when he heard what was going to be given to the one who defeated the giant. He asked the question, I think, three times. Now, what's going to be done to the man that defeats this uncircumcised Philistine? He didn't have his eyes on the problem. He had his eyes on the prize. Didn't matter how big he was, because he knew that his God was bigger. Why? Because he looked back and how the Lord had delivered him from the lion and from the bear and from all those previous battles that he had had in his life from a youth on up. Anybody in here ever come through some battles that the Lord has delivered you from? Just those victories alone should give us the ability to trust in him. Sometimes we feel surrounded by our mountains or our problems or our trials or our challenges. Back to Psalms 118 and 10, it says this, all nations compassed me about, surrounded, closed in. But in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them, or I will get the victory in the name of the Lord. And his name is Jesus. We can see bits and pieces of it in the Old Testament as far as there he was. As a matter of fact, remember when he walked with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus and he taught them that little Bible study. They didn't know who he was, but the word of the Lord says, and beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, he opened up to them the scriptures of the things concerning himself. Yeah, by the way, that cloud back there, that was me. The water that came from the rock, that was me. I've been wanting to tell you this for years, and now I can tell you. The word of the Lord says in Psalms 125, verses 1 through 5. Now this is known as a song of degrees, a song of levels, a song of climbings, a song of gaining height, gaining relationship perhaps, gaining insight with the Lord. Even your thoughts, the closer you get to God, your thoughts can be captivated by the things of God. And when problems arise and when things are set before us, the Lord can plant a thought in your mind because of growing closer to Him and seeking Him and climbing after Him. We can come up with the solutions or the answers because it's all right here. But the enemy, through intimidation, like the giant with David, wants to, with his loud voice, with his intimidation, stop and shake us from focusing on what's real. Like the sickness and the gloom and doom that was consistent 24/7. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, it's terrible. My word says that no matter what's going on, my God is good. My God is victorious. My God has never lost one, and He never will. Psalms 125, verses 1 through 5. A song of degrees. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, watch, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people, from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the worker of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel. You see, we are a part of that promise because we have been grafted into the family of God. We are seeds of Abraham. So this problem, like Pastor Portman says, one of those precious promises that is ours. Jerusalem surrounded by the mountains. I remember Brother Raymond Woodward, Pastor Schumacher, you will remember this message where he showed on the screen at family camp about the mountains, how they were shaped around Jerusalem and the landscape there, and the way the mountains looked from an aerial view was like a man standing or a woman standing with their hands in the air worshiping. The Lord protects us. The Lord keeps us. The Lord surrounds us. We can trust Him with all that we are. That word trust means to go quickly for refuge. Figuratively, to trust or be confident or be sure, secure, be bold. And so, David went in the name of the Lord, and he won the battle. Psalms 20 and 7, we've heard this scripture before. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we collectively will remember the name of the Lord our God. I remember Pastor Schumacher one year saying, bring it home to our time in this world. Some trust in Cadillacs and some in houses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. There are things that this world parades before us, church, that can cause us to be distracted and cause us to change our priorities, perhaps. And all of a sudden, we're seeing things that, in the big picture, don't mean a thing. Just stuff. So let's go quickly to the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter. This is one of my favorite Bible studies when the nation of Israel goes through the Red Sea. I love this one. I love them all, really, but this one is, there is so much here in an Old Testament delivery of the nation of Israel that points to you and I in the year 2022 and beyond if the Lord tarries. You know, so we're the seed of Abraham. Pastor Schumacher mentioned it tonight of how he trusted God because he and the boy went up to worship the Lord. He cut enough wood. There's one translation that said, when he had cut enough wood. See, he trusted God so much that he didn't just take a few pieces of wood with him to go through the motions. He took enough wood with him that if he was going to have to sacrifice him the way that he thought he was going to have to, he was going to do it right because he trusted God enough that no matter what he did, God was going to restore. He took enough wood. He trusted him with his very being, everything that he was from his very core. And so too can you and I trust him with everything that we face in this life. Exodus 14, verses 1 through 3, look at, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Verse 3, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. You know what he's thinking? Chest puffed out, I can just see him. Got him. But really, God wanted Pharaoh to believe that Israel was trapped, but in reality, he was laying a trap for the Egyptians to walk into. Yeah, got him. Because in verse 4, who's really in charge? Verse 4, the word of the Lord says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Look, your enemy, my enemy, our problem, our situation, our trial has nothing up on us. Because we are a child of God. He already has the answer. And it was told the king of Egypt, verse 5, that the people fled and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? that we have let Israel go from serving us. But Pharaoh said, no, no. What did he do? He made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over them and battle-hardened horses. So some trust in chariots and some in horses. I want you to know that back here, that was a sign of strength and power. It was a war machine. And people feared just because of this battle garb. And what did Pharaoh do? He took the best to show off his strength. And the Lord's thinking, yep, I'm going to get it all. Bring it on. And that's exactly what happened. So 600 chosen chariots, all the captains, every one of them, and all the horses. But what did the biggest and strongest of Egypt have on the people of God? Nothing. And here's what is amazing. So the cloud that was leading the nation of Israel, okay, picture the Spirit that's always with us. He goes before us. He's within us. But the cloud removed and went behind them, and it was dark on the backside so that the nation of Egypt could not see what was happening. But it created light for the nation of Israel so that all night long as they traveled through the Red Sea that they could see what they were doing. The children of God saw the way. Children of God, see the way. He has prepared it for us, and he will show it to us while he keeps the enemy in darkness. And so all night long, they traveled across the Red Sea with the protection of the cloud. And then, this is what I want you to see in verse 27 of that 14th chapter. Because remember in verse 13, Moses told the people, fear not, because they were afraid. They were smitten with fear when all the chariots and horses were coming. Just like you and I can be smitten with fear when the battle comes to our doorstep, when the sickness shows up at our address. What am I going to do now? Trust in the Lord. So watch. Verse 27. And Moses, after he told the people to stand still, and what did he say? See the salvation of the Lord. There it is. Remember when Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, got knocked off his high horse? And he heard the voice from heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Heaven had his attention. He asks a great question. Whom art thou? Lord. Capital L, Elohim, supreme. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. That's the Lord we serve. That's the Lord that the Word of God tells us to trust in. That's who we have in our corner. That's who is going to battle for you and I. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and watch this. And the sea returned to his strength. When morning appeared and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Here's what I want you to see. I never saw this before. The Lord return the sea to his strength. Watch. In order to deliver the nation of Israel, he broke what was whole, he divided it, and he let the nation of Israel go through. When they went through and the Egyptians fell into the Lord's trap, he closed it and it was made whole again. It was united. It was the strength, and it was now moving like God created it to move. It was unified. It was one. And you know, in our broken state, Scripture tells us, for when I am weak, then he is strong. And we can be broken at times with situations in our life. But when the Spirit moves, when we are under the cloud of authority, when we are in the order of God according to thus saith the word of the Lord, and united and one with him, the Spirit moves and it heals and it covers and it takes care of. Let me just share this with you. This is awesome. If you look at the fifth day, God spoke to the waters in the week of creation, and he asked the waters to bring forth living things and the fowl of the air. Birds from water, Brother Art? Think about it. How does that work, that the water could create something that would fly? Oh, it does. And it's a part of the plan when you and I become one with Christ, because when we go into the waters of baptism and he washes us in his blood, one day you and I are going to be able to fly too when the trumpet sounds. Because of being one with the Lord. And so, battle after battle, where the odds seemed impossible, God delivered his people. And so I ask you tonight, what is it that we need God to do for us? Because he can do all things. We can trust him with every problem that we have. About a month ago, my brother came from Texas, and he and I took a drive down memory lane. We went back up north and we looked at things that happened in certain places, and we began to talk about the car accident that we were in, that we should have both died. We talked about both of us who fell in a pond and there just happened to be somebody there that pulled us both out. We should have drowned and died. But yet God sustained us back then already. God was taking care of us and protecting us. And then I thought of that day, a Wednesday in May in 1994, when I got shot point blank in the chest turkey hunting. When I got up that morning, I did not have the thought, I think I'm going to die today. You see, we don't know. But yet, I want you to know that when that happened, and it was chaos, But I looked down and saw a hole blown in my jacket. And I was stunned. The first three words that left these lips were, "Oh God, please. Oh God, please." Here I am. For him, it's that simple. I have got to believe, and you have got to believe, that he has greater things in store for each and every one of us. He has things for us to do. But we can endure things in our lives, and other people can see them transpire and take place. And they too can gain a trust and a confidence in the same God that you and I know and serve. The Brady stories. How many here, Brother Fitch, can say that they were brought back from the dead? Just the people in this sanctuary tonight have enough stories for us to be able to trust in God. And so I'm talking to somebody tonight who's facing a problem, a trial, a situation. Trust him. Trust him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your very being, because he has you in the palm of his hand. It was about 3 weeks ago, I thought I was going to get a job. I was very confident that the Lord was going to open that door, and that would solve my problems. So I thought. And I remember, though, coming to this place the day after I went for a second interview, and I thought, I wasn't braggadocious, but I was confident. I remember telling the pastor, "I believe that I'm going to get this job." But I told God, "Lord, you know my heart. And you know what I would like. But if you say no, I'll trust you. And I'll serve you." And things are not going to change. And I didn't get the job. Was I disappointed? Absolutely, I was. But I feel the Lord walk me over to the corner, Brother Art. And this is what he said to me. "You felt pretty secure the last couple of weeks, because you thought you were going to get a job and your problems would be over. It would handle everything and it would all fall into place. But your security and your confidence isn't in a job. It's in me." Your security and your confidence cannot be in anything that man makes or provides. It has got to be our trust in God. Do you believe that tonight? You can stand with me tonight. want to read the whole chapter of Psalms 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You see, that's where the strength and that's where the power is. And I believe that there is such a strength and a unity in this body. And I believe with all my heart, and Pastor talked about it, we need miracles. Christine Savodic's life, Brother Marquardt's situation. And we can trust the God we serve to do it. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, Aaron, the priesthood. You see, and Brother Coffey talked about it Sunday night, standing in line in the order of God and the anointing and how being under that umbrella, the oil, it runs down and it's a part of our strength because we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, and as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Not only can we trust and look to God for the answers in this present world and this time we live in, but we can also trust Him for life everlasting, to be with Him forever. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Trust Him tonight. Believe Him tonight for your answer, for your miracle. Because truly, He can provide it.